All right, go to Romans chapter 4. I wanted to deal with this a little bit in faith. In Romans 4, just a couple thoughts. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And listen, and being fully persuaded that that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. You see that? Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for, and the Greek word for that word for, and I'm not a Greek scholar, don't care to be, but it's D-I-A. And it's translated as well as because of in your King James Bible. That same word is translated because of, like in Matthew 13. Hold on to here and go to Matthew 13. Do what? He is Abraham, that's right. Matthew 13, 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of, you see that? Because of, that's the same Greek word, D-I-A. Now, I'm not going to do the King James Bible because I believe it's the inerrant, infallible Word of God. But I want you to see it in a sense of what happened here. Go back to Romans chapter 4, because of. Now watch this. This is fascinating to me. Who, a reference to the Lord of verse 24, who was delivered because of our offenses. Why was he delivered on the cross? For our offenses. And was raised again because of our justification. See, in the fact that God raised him from the dead was the proof that he had justified you from all things. See, people look at the death, burial, and resurrection and almost, don't take this wrong. A lot of the independents just talk about the DBR, death, burial, and resurrection. But they don't really explain what happened in that DBR. And without the Pauline epistles, if you just take Romans through Philemon out of the Bible and just rip it out, there's the New Testament, the book of Acts. I'm going to put the parentheses in, Romans through Philemon, parentheses, and then Hebrews through Revelation. If you ripped out these 85 pages, I think most people would be happy. I would think that most people, because they've been trained where? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, you rip those 85 pages out, they'd be happy. I mean, they would.
They wouldn't miss it.
They wouldn't miss it. But without those 85 pages, you don't understand Romans chapter 4, verse 25. You don't understand that passage. That passage would be impossible to understand. And you couldn't be what it says in verse 21, being fully persuaded. You couldn't be fully persuaded that you were saved. You know what you'd be thinking? Have I done enough? Am I doing enough? I mean, most of us were on that scale at one time. Amen? I mean, before I got saved, I believed God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. How many here actually thought that at one point? I mean, the majority of us. I mean, it's like, and you know, the question comes in, well, what happens if you don't catch your confession in time? Well, I always cover my confessions at the end, like, in case I forgot one of my sins. I'm just praying for a general covering. You ever notice that? It's like, you know, because they want to make sure they get it in, right? They're always on that fear level, right? They're always wondering. Well, Paul's epistles should have arrested that. That's why in Romans chapter 5, it starts out, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Those 85 pages in your King James Bible, the ones we call Romans through Philemon, these 85 pages is where you find peace. There's no peace out here. There's no peace over here. The only place you can find peace with God is right there. You know why?
He did it all.
Yeah. He made Christ to be sin for us. Well, without this, you remove that out of the King James Bible, and you don't, and you fail to rightly divide, there is no peace. You're going to be walking the aisle. How many times, I'll just be curious now, don't get mad at me. How many times did you rededicate your life? I mean, you walked up and you slung some snot and you felt bad for what you'd done. Sterling, how many times did you do it? Didn't get rid of it the first time, did you? Yeah, but how about walking the aisle and rededication? So two baptism and one rededication. How about it, Larry? Any? You weren't really in church. You were a little hellion. He told me that when he drank back in the old days, that even though he's only 5'4" or 5'5", he felt like he was 7'2". That's why he always got his butt whooped in them bars. He just couldn't figure it out. Dan?
I was baptized twice.
Okay. Wait.
I was saved when I was 11 years old. I've been saved ever since.
All right. Diane? Read it.
He asked if you rededicated it. Right. I was baptized twice.
Yeah, I think most of us are that way. Mary, how about you?
I got rededicated.
Too many to count.
Too many to count. Brenda?
Two Brendas.
Well, I know, but I'm looking at that one. She knows I'm talking. How many times have you rededicated and been baptized? Two. Brenda?
Couple.
No?
Twice.
Dennis?
Baptized once. Rededicated several times.
Yeah.
Baptized once and rededicated one time. I can't probably.
Chrissy?
Baptized once, but I've never rededicated.
Twice.
No. You got to wonder, if you had peace, why would you need that other at the stop? See, without the information in Romans through Philemon, with the failure to rightly divide, you have no peace in this Bible. And so you're constantly on that treadmill trying to be pleasing to God, whatever that is. I don't know what that is. And let me tell you, I've seen it time and time and time and time again, and the failure is to rightly divide the Word. The failure is to know. See, people don't realize. Did Jesus talk about the DBR?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. They didn't have peace. Let me show you that. Go to Matthew. They didn't have peace. Go to Matthew 16. He tells them clearly what he's going to do. Tell me if you think this gave him peace. Verse 21, Matthew 16:21. Now watch this. From that time forth began Jesus to show on his disciples, he wasn't trying to show everybody, he was trying to show his disciples, how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. What is that? That's the death, burial, and resurrection. And Peter had so much peace. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not..." Did that sound like it brought peace?
No.
The death, burial, and resurrection cannot bring peace. You know how many Catholics believe in the death, burial, and resurrection?
All of them.
You know how many Jehovah's Witnesses believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? All of them. You know how many Baptists believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? All of them. You know how many Pentecostals believe in the death, burial, and resurrection? All of them. But you know what? You can hear an uncertainty in their voice to that peace issue. I was listening to David Z on his post. You know, the guys that I have, hey, we're at peace. And these guys are all struggling trying to be selflessness and do these great works and whatever. Well, you know what? When are you going to know that you ever had enough? And you know what the Bible says? All of our righteousness, everything that you could muster up good, everything that you could bring before God and you dump before the throne of God, you know what he would say? They're nothing but filthy rags, Isaiah 64. It doesn't matter what you think. You know, what pieces are going to be, you'll have to wait. It's a nail biter, guys, right to the very end. It's a nail biter. It's not until you get to Paul's epistles with that message that changed. Did Paul preach the death, burial, and resurrection? But he added something to it that he got, and he calls it my gospel. What is it? It's the S factor. That's cool. He got something that was a secret that would bring about peace. To the death, burial, and resurrection, he makes the explanation of what it was for. Look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. You know, if you think about rightly dividing and about peace, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, is the peace of God. You know, to know that you have peace with God is one thing, and having the peace of God is another thing. But to know that you have peace with God, and that's really what we're talking about. If it's dependent upon you, there's no way you can have peace. You understand? You're going to be in your mind constantly thinking, have I done enough? What am I running short? What can I do more of? You know why people didn't show up today? They had family things. Now, in a lot of churches, that would look bad. But you know what? I praise God for it. You know why? They don't feel condemned when they miss. It isn't going to make you any more or any less saved. You got it? Your coming here isn't going to impress God as a work. You should come here because you want the truth and you want to build up. In fact, Christy, if I can tell you what you told me during the break, it really, she said, I was looking for a place that would give me some meat.
Amen.
That's what you ought to be coming here for. This isn't like your general church. You go to general church if you need general church. This is the advanced stuff. Okay? And I don't care if there's 10 people out there or 5 million people out there. It isn't going to change my preaching. You understand? We're just going to talk about this stuff until it sinks into the old noggin, and you then can turn around and repeat it. Yes, Carlton. It's like the steak. Are you taking me out to the steakhouse today? Huh? I'm pretty hungry. You want to go out to eat? How about if I take you out to eat? I'll tell you what. I'll take anybody who wants to go with me out to eat. 5 years from now.
See, I knew it. I knew it. That's why I would say question.
You know, anybody that goes out with me knows me. I'm pretty generous.
Come on, William. You come with us.
No, I don't want William there. Mom, if we take him out, we're going to have like chicks hanging out with us. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Oh, that just grosses me out. Since I'm short, pale, and fat. Yeah, no, fat. 1 Corinthians 15. Are y'all there? Moreover, brother, you notice how I waited till you get there. It was a hard passage to find. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. You're not wondering, you're not walking around going, am I saved? You know why you rededicated or got rebaptized?
You didn't believe you were saved.
You didn't believe you were saved. You didn't have any peace with God. You wouldn't have done that had you had peace with God. The reason you did it is because you had no peace with God and you were in that constant battle. Well, guys, listen, let me tell you what. That's not what God wants you to have in the dispensation of grace. He wants you to know it's done. And you say, well, what's the difference between the gospel of what Peter preached and what the gospel Paul preached? Well, I think it's fairly clear, but let me read down just before we go to do a comparison. And you may want to get out your Bible pens. And if you don't have your handy-dandy Bible pen, talk to Larry. Do we have any more? We ought to get a few more. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory of what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. You wouldn't have peace, by the way, if you believed in vain, would you? No. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Acts chapter 9 was the very first time that could have happened. In historical data. Acts chapter 8, he's making havoc of the church. There's no way he could have received it before Acts chapter 9. So if I have this in Acts chapter 9, I'm going to put Acts chapter 9. He received something according to Romans 16 that had been what? Kept secret. Then it wasn't taught in the Old Testament. It wasn't taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It wasn't taught in the first part of the book of Acts. If this is the first place God revealed it, and the thing he's revealing is not the DVR, that had already been revealed. Did they have peace? No, Peter's willing to whip out the sword and let it rip. You got it? There was no peace. There wasn't like, hey, we are saved. Just relax. Man, let me tell you what. When Jesus was taken up, Peter still wasn't at peace. He asked the Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Does that sound like someone who's got peace? I mean, it doesn't sound like anybody had peace. You know what he said in Acts 2, verse 47? And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Look in Acts 3:19 compared to this. Notice that ye are saved. Go, get Acts 3. There's no way this is the same gospel. No way, no how. There's no peace on their end. Bless God, there's lots of peace on our end. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins maybe blotted out. Does that sound like you, hey, does that sound like you really know that they're gone? Maybe blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Well, I know when that is. That's the second coming. Right there. There it is. 7 years of tribulation minimum. Could there be more than 7 years in that tribulation period? Yeah, but we know that there are at least 7 more years of prophecy. You got it? Don't know anything else, but I know that there is at least that last week of Daniel. Right. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Well, that doesn't bring about peace. That doesn't bring about Romans chapter 5. Ron writes in, most churches contain many who do not believe, and some are moving toward that belief, but many are simply pretending to be Christians. That's true.
That's right.
They're on that treadmill. They don't know what to do. They've never heard the gospel of the grace of God. They've never got the sense of the peace with God that they were supposed to have. They're always in turmoil. People come to me and say, I'm lost. When people say that, what do I tell them? Get saved. Why? Something is wrong if you're not at peace. If there's a turmoil, something is wrong. If it's bothering you in your stomach, say, well, I thought I was saved before. It doesn't matter. If you don't have peace, you ain't got it. See, the peace is the key. Why? What was it? Well, look in 1 Corinthians 15, back where we were, in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. That's the S factor, guys, right there. That's what brings about the peace. Why does the S factor bring about the peace? Yeah, I mean, we sang the songs, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He was. I mean, it's a piece about knowing that He did it. That you can relax. I use that illustration of the wheelbarrow. You know, driving that wheelbarrow across the Grand Canyon, and I do that over and over because it's visually, people can see that. The guy goes and grabs the cable and drags it across the Grand Canyon, gets it out there, and millions of people show up. You know how they love to see daredevil stuff. And Jesus Christ gets out on that thing with a wheelbarrow and gets out about a third of the way. And He says, how many believe I can do this? And everybody starts screaming, yeah. So He backs up, gets to the edge again, said, if you really believe, get in the wheelbarrow. Now that's a difference. But you know what? You wouldn't get in that wheelbarrow if you didn't trust Him. You wouldn't get in it. You might believe it, but that's what they call lost believers or believing in vain. You see, that's where there's no peace. I'm not doubting you're believing. You're just believing in vain. See, when you talk about lost believers, I believed in Jesus Christ before I got saved. I believe He died, was buried, and He rose again before I got saved. But I never had peace until the 24th of August, 1983, when I quit trying to save myself. Paul did the same thing. He threw it all away. Go to Philippians chapter 3. One of my favorite passages. They're all my favorite passages. I like them all. Verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. I just want you to see his background just a little bit, because I want you to think about this in this sense. Start in verse 4, and it's all good. I mean, we can start in verse 1, but just for time's sake, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. That is, if there's anything you could do in the flesh, Paul had some credentials that you ought to be able to trust in.
Right.
If any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Why would you say that, Paul? Well, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But you know what he didn't have? He didn't have peace. He never had peace until that road to Damascus deal. You got it? He had everything you could brag about, everything you could muster up, all the righteousness. You ain't even gotten close to Paul. I mean, it's so amazing to me, these self-righteous individuals who think they're so good and they're above reproach. Hey, they're not any further above reproach than Paul. And you know what? It didn't count to him anything. He said in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, of whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Wow. You know what? That's what brings about peace. Amen? Having God's righteousness. I'm not walking around wondering whether I'm going to be righteous enough to get in. Folks, God made me the righteousness of God in Him. I am the righteousness of God. When you look at me, you're looking at somebody just as righteous and just as holy as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You guys act like you're not believing that one. Say, well, Barry, I know you. No, you don't. I didn't say I did righteous things. I said God made me His righteousness.
So He can see you.
Amen.
It's His perspective to you, not my perspective to you.
That's right. Hey, Jim might look at my life and say, boy, Barry needs to tighten it up a notch.
Right.
You got it? But God will never look at me and say, you know what? You need something else in your life. That's why He says in Colossians, I am complete in Him. See, when you understand the DVR plus S, all of a sudden now something else enters in other than all your sins being... How many sins did He pay for? All of them. So how many sins do you have over here? None. Why? Because you slung some snot at an old-fashioned altar? Because you walked the aisle? Because you said some sinner's prayer? The reason you don't have any sin, are you listening to me? Is God made His Son to be sin for you. He took that sin that was upon you and placed it upon His Son, all of them. How many were in the future? All of them. Look, if you will, in Colossians. Just the next book over, go to Colossians chapter 2. You see, guys, when that S factor entered in with Paul, something else entered into the heart of the believer. And you know what it was? It was peace with God. I'm not worried whether God's going to send me to hell. You know why? His Son went to hell for me. I'm not worried whether I'm going to get into heaven. He says, I'm already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Isn't that the greatest stuff? I mean, that's great stuff. I'm not walking around biting my nails and wondering whether it's going to be close. I'm relaxed. The other day, I thought I was dying. I mean, literally. Randy goes, should I call 911? I'm like, not yet. It was one of them close calls. Okay, maybe we should call 911.
How about get that name? Pull up the 1-1.
Yeah, get the 9 and the 1 dialed, then push the 1 when I tell you. And I'm just telling you, I had total peace. That was amazing. I am ready to go. I'm not going to wonder. I'm not going to lay on my deathbed and wonder if I've done a good enough work. If what He did at that cross isn't enough for me or you, you're in trouble.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, what are you going to do?
That's right.
What are you going to say or do? You know, Brother Pete used to go like this, hey, you want to impress me? Sprout wings and fly.
That's right.
Nothing you're going to do isn't going to impress me.
That's right.
Look what He said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you what? Not only that, look what He says. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That was the law. The thing that made sin. He didn't want you to keep the law. You were incapable of doing it the first time. The law entered so that you could see yourself a sinner. Blotting out the handwriting of our ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know why? He wanted you to have peace. That's what God's interested in. That's amazing, isn't it? And so God wrote 85 pages in a grace terminology. This isn't the same that what Peter preached. You say, well, they all preach the same gospel. Well, then something's really weird in your Bible. Go to Acts chapter 10, 34 and 35 and get Titus. If that's true, then there's something weird in the wording here. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. You know who Peter's talking to? A Gentile. Now, this is a beer. Cornelius is a blesser, right? But this is a Gentile. And this is what Peter said to this Gentile. Tell me if this is what you believe for your salvation. Peter talking to Cornelius. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him, that is, feareth God. I didn't mean to bore you. That's okay. Lack of oxygen. I don't need to come over and give you CPR, do I? Hey, listen, if I pass out, by the way, may the pretty girls start with CPR first. But in 2 minutes or three, guys, they don't do anything, jump on me and do the best you can. Just thought I'd throw that out. But in every nation, he that feareth him, feareth who? Feareth God, and worketh righteousness, is accepted with him. What happens if you don't work righteousness? You're not accepted, right? That's how the English language is. You can put a not on either side of that. Still makes sense. You do not fear God, you won't be accepted. You do not work righteousness, you will not be accepted. You got it? That's how the English language works. He that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't work righteousness? You will not be accepted. You got that? Well, look at what Paul said in Titus chapter 3, and I want to start in verse 4. I'm just doing that because these guys keep yelling out 5. But after the kindness and love of our love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Where did it appear? Acts chapter 9, guys, when the S came in. Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the S factor came in. Now, it's not apparent that he preached that until the 13th of Acts, but I believe he believed it. He said, I also received it. So he got it sometime after Acts chapter 9. He received it. But he says, verse 5, and here's the peace difference. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Boy, that would bring about peace, amen? All of a sudden, the work isn't on you. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, who's the work on? It's on you. In Titus chapter 3, the work is on Christ. Not by works of righteousness which you've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. You see, the difference, that's the peace difference. That's the S difference. That's the S factor that 85 pages brings out. That S factor is the make it or break it. Can people be saved without understanding that? You know, all they need to know is that Christ died for their sins. They don't need the explanation. But you know what? They're never going to get that if you rip those 85 pages out of those Romans through Philemon, those 13 books that we call Paul's epistles, and you rip that out of your King James Bible, not one of you, listen to me, could show me the gospel. You can show me the death, burial, and resurrection. You can show me the gospel of God. You can show me the gospel of the kingdom. What you can't show me is the S factor, and the gospel of the grace of God, and the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of peace. You know why? It doesn't exist. It only exists in the 85 pages. That's where it exists. Rip it out of your Bible. Act like you want to go about doing works and whatever. And I know it was of works at one time. Romans chapter 11. I'm getting hungry. Are y'all hungry? Who's hungry in here? And don't lie. Okay. It's going to take the preacher out. Not one person. That's amazing. I've tried it twice, haven't I? Sorry, rascals. Well, who's got plans afterwards? Everybody got plans? What? How do you eat? Huh? That's what that... Hey, Brenda, that's what that oven's for. You really... You cook on those things?
Frozen dinners.
I'm going to stop by the grocery store and pick me up one then. I just want you to know I'm not sharing my tomatoes from Kentucky. I got about 6 really unbelievable tomatoes. And if someone took me out, I was going to share, but I've decided not to share now. I'm going to be stingy with my tomatoes. Well, not the ones growing in my backyard because those plants are dead. Listen. I am under a curse. There's some darkness above me and tomatoes. I mean, William assured me that I'd have tomatoes, and even William couldn't undo my curse.
Even the birds won't eat them, William.
I mean, it's terrible. But I am saved, so I'm going to heaven when I die. That's the good news. Thank God they're going to... You know what? I know what I like summer. I hate the heat and all that. But this is what I like about summer. You ready? Sweet corn, tomatoes, and watermelons. Oh, my gosh. That is about as good as it gets. You know, I'd live in the South just for that and put up with the heat just for those three things. I had a watermelon make you want to slap your mother-in-law. Now, I suggest that you don't. Well, some of you might need to slap your mother-in-law. Roman, you would take me out. I'd drive all the way to Kentucky for you to take me. I'll be there tomorrow. Romans 11, verse 6, and we'll end here today. Well, I want to go back to Romans chapter 5, actually. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is... Well, it tells me at one time it was of works. What changed? The only thing that changed was the yes factor. Christ died for your sins. That was it. Death, burial, and resurrection didn't change. It's the fact that He died for all of your sins and you didn't have to do those works anymore. You know why? Jesus paid it all. He said, otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Man, you can't have it both ways. Like oil and water. We're learning a lot about that in the Gulf of Mexico. And you don't mix it. It'll eventually rise to the top. You know why? Oil weighs less than water. Now, I want you to think about this. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, what is the therefore about? Verse 25. Who was delivered for our offense and was raised again for our justification or because of. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So, you know what? Here's what I want you to do. Everybody just close your Bible for a minute. We're all done. I want you to take a deep breath. Come on, just everybody take a deep breath. Come on. You on the internet can do the same. Close your Bible. Listen to me. Just take a deep breath. You are either saved or you are lost. That can change. What changes? You believe it. You believe that Christ died for your sins. So what is it that I'm talking about? Everybody take another deep breath. Just relax. God knows right now. Everybody in here, God knows your heart, knows your mind, knows whether you're lost or whether you're saved. God knows. You're not fooling Him. You know what? You can fool me, but you can't fool God. And so the realization is that S factor is really here. Here's the thing. Everything that could possibly be done for your salvation has already been accomplished. You can't add to it. You can't say any prayer to make you any closer. You can't join a church. You can't join this church and make you any closer. But if you will trust that fact, that Christ died for your sins, all of a sudden you'll have a peace that will bring about all, passes all knowledge. And you'll go, you know what? If He didn't do it all, you were going to go to hell anyway. Don't you understand that there's nothing you can do to muster it up? You know what? All these people trying to tell me and impress me with their good works. Romans chapter 4 says, to him that worketh not. You want to impress me? Relax. Show me you're trusting in the Lord. You don't have to convince me you're saved. You don't have to bring me 45,000 dates that, hey, these are times I got converted. Just tell me when you got the peace. Quit worrying about it. And you know what? There isn't anything you can do about it. Everything that's already been accomplished happened 2,000 years ago. God wants to save every human being on this planet, but He can only save those that will believe. The only ones He can save is the ones that will get in the wheelbarrow. When was there a time He got in the wheelbarrow? You guys, see, today is the 4th of July. And the thing that we've got so great in this country that is an amazing thing is the freedom to worship God. And that freedom wasn't bought at a simple cost. It was a pricey cost. It took men's lives to endure the freedom. You realize that everybody who signed the Declaration of Independence, almost all of them were either broke or dead within 4 or 5 years. And they did it so that you could have the freedom to sit here and to discuss the Word of God in the King James Bible, free of persecution from the government. That's an amazing freedom. And that freedom may be taken away from you. It's coming. It's possible. And you know what? It's our own, excuse the term, damn fault. We've sat on the side and watched it happen. You know what? Today is a remembrance of the soldiers and the men and the people that signed that Declaration of Independence. You know why John Hancock was the largest signature on there? Because he knew that they were going to hunt them down and kill everybody that signed that. And he wanted to make sure he saw his name. Mm-hmm. And listen, let me tell you what. We live in the greatest country in the world. I believe that. But I can tell you that this isn't my home. America isn't my home. In my country, I'm just passing through. I've got a better country, a far better country that I'm looking for. And one day there's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's the greatest hope I know of. That's the greatest hope. And you can be assured of that hope by simply putting your trust in Jesus Christ. You guys have a great Independence Day. And we'll see you Wednesday.